This episode of the Policy Viz podcast is brought to you by Socrata. Socrata is the global leader in software solutions that are designed exclusively for digital government. They deliver unprecedented data-driven innovation and cost savings for hundreds of public sector leaders and millions of their constituents around the world. Socrata's digital government solutions are being deployed for a wide array of strategic and mission-critical government services that empower citizens while enhancing their quality of life. To learn more about Socrata, visit www.socrata.com. Welcome back to the Policy Viz podcast. I am your host, John Schwabish. I hope everyone is having a lovely kickoff to fall. I'm here today with Rebecca Williams from the Office of Management and Budget. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John.
So thanks for coming on. This is really exciting. We have known each other for a while now when you were at data.gov, and now you're at OMB, a Senior Open Government Analyst, which is a pretty awesome title, especially for someone in the federal government.
I agree.
So maybe you can, why don't we start by having you sort of tell listeners a little bit about yourself and maybe a little bit about what you're working on right now at the White House.
Sure. I'll give my background for more context. I started off being interested in data as a city planner. And when I lived in New York City doing city planning work, I came across a group called Open Plans that did open source civic technology, and I got more and more invested in this space of trying to find new data sources that were free and open to use for research and other reasons. And from there, I started working at the Sunlight Foundation, and then I worked at data.gov, and now I'm currently on loan to the White House to work on open data, this time instead of like crunching numbers, more on the policy side.
Okay, so can you explain a little bit about the sort of the difference between what you're doing now at the White House versus what you were sort of doing at data.gov? Because my thought was when you're at data.gov is you were sort of working with agencies trying to convince them to give you all their good data, or at least the libraries and the meta links to all the good data.
That is totally accurate. I guess like the briefest way I can explain it is I had more of like a good cop, like facilitator role at data.gov, and now I have more of a bad cop, like metadata cop police role, which actually I think suits my background from the Sunlight Foundation a little bit more.
Yeah.
At data.gov, so there is overlap. I would say like about like 20-25% of the work I do is still talking to agencies about their metadata in a similar way, except for now, since I'm in the Office of Management and Budget in the White House, yeah. There's more, I can be more specific with my critique, and there are all these other like meetings I have to go to with higher-up politicals, and I can say, like, this agency isn't doing this with their data, or they really should be doing this. Can you tell leadership in that agency that this is a priority?
Right, so what is it like, or what are the challenges, I guess, is probably the better question, when you're talking to agencies and trying to get them to buy into this whole idea of opening up their data? Because I would suspect that for many agencies, that's a completely foreign idea, that the data that they are working with, they're now going to sort of release out to the public. So what is that sort of interaction like?
Yes, I think, I mean, we have 24 CFO Act agencies that are under the executive order / open data policy that we focus on specifically. All the other like independent agencies, like for example, like the FCC or the FEC, these are agencies that it truly is just like a kind conversation where it's like, we're doing this thing and this is how you can do it. But these other agencies are technically under a mandate to at least start doing steps forward in this direction. And there's definitely different strategies for different agencies, but I think part of my role being over at OMB now is shifting the conversation away from just like quote-unquote open data and having that be like a buzzword that's interesting, and talking yeah. more about the life cycle of data management, and then also how this plays into how agencies are actually managing things that are relevant to their mission. So some of the things I'm working on at OMB is sort of rebranding open data to just be about data management, period, and about the full life cycle of data management. There's a lot of privacy concerns going on in the federal government right now, and rightfully so. And open data is still very much a priority for this administration, knowing that the administration will change eventually, and we want to sort of institutionalize all the good work that's been done with open data. So a lot of the work is just sort of making sure that we have data and data management baked into all these other policies that are happening. And one of those policies is the Data Act, which is a law that was passed last year to standardize federal spending data. Mm-hmm. And OMB also helps oversee that implementation. So that's like one example of something that I'm working on from the policy side that I wasn't doing at data.gov. Right. Another example is there's a law passed recently called FITARA that empowers chief information officers in their agency in a way that they hadn't been empowered previously. Now they essentially will have a seat at the table for all agency decision making. And CIOs are going to need good data to work with about how their agency is being run and also how their mission is being accomplished. And they're going to need better data and data people to work on that data to help inform their decision making. But now the idea that like technology and mission are separate is sort of going away. And definitely data is a huge chunk of what technology is.
And how much of the discussion that you have with agencies is about, when it comes to open data, how much is the discussion about opening the data to the world versus sort of opening the data just within their organization, sort of trying to knock down the silos between divisions?
Yeah, so I think that's what we've actually struggled with the most. The opening the data to the world for the low hanging fruit has been sort of it's going slower than I would like, but it's on course. Uh-huh. But the internal stuff is more tricky. So the open data policy actually has three access level categories. So we have non-public, restricted public, and public. And the restricted public bucket is supposed to be a free-for-all for all sort or a big bucket for things that either are for researchers or for internal use or require a login. But in terms of having agencies actually inventory the non-public and then restricted public stuff, they've been a lot more hesitant to even sort of list it somewhere. So there's been a major push to get agencies to share internally, and then also intra-agency better practices. Right now, they're basically one-off memos of understanding between agencies to share what might be sensitive information, and it's not the most efficient way to go about it.
Right. And are the challenges for a lot of these agencies, is it technology, is it culture, is it the format of the existing data, is it the privacy and security issues? Are there certain things you've identified as being the primary things that are the things you sort of run into the most?
Yeah, so funny you should say that. So we just did agency by agency sessions, talking with people that are actually working on it on the ground, and then did a survey of results that should be out any moment. We just closed it yesterday, but that will be public data, our survey results about what's going on with agency data management. But what I've seen is there's issues with data governance. Federal agencies are so large, and it's just organizing between components or within a component that is really difficult. And then what has been self-reported is that the cultural issues are actually more of a challenge than the technical. Yeah. But I will say, in terms of all sorts of information management, talent has been a real challenge as well. Luckily, some of the digital services funding and 18F and USDS and the Presidential Innovation Fellowship Program has been really helpful. But again, this is still, I don't know how many people that makes up altogether. It's 200 people or something in a very, very large organization.
Yeah.
And we see time and time again, if we put somebody in that has these skills and they sort of have authority or license to do what they need to do with the data, a lot of government data is in a position where it's just it needs to to be ETL'd into a better system to work better, or it needs to be collected better. Like, it's very like step one before we even get into like really interesting analysis or like critiquing like better ways to collect information. So yeah, it's getting the right people in government, and also the right people in government to help procure the right tools so they don't pay too much for technology that isn't really going to do the job they need, or even so that they know how to include the proper clauses for like data rights or like requirements. If you're creating an API or an ETL, like somebody that can speak policy or law and then also speak tech, so you're asking for what you need and you're not being swindled, essentially.
Yeah, right. So I know you spend a lot of time in here in DC, at least in the data community DC and in the meetup groups. And I'm wondering what role sort of the public plays in this whole effort. Not necessarily in terms of sort of the demand for data, but sort of in the maybe helping to develop the tools or provide the feedback on. These data are not useful. We can't get them, you know, sort of providing, not just demanding, like, we want this data, but saying, you know, this data that is out there is not very good. Can you sort of help us make it better? So is there a role for the we can call it the tech community, but it's really broader than that, I think. But is there a role for the public in as being part of this process of opening more data from the government?
Yeah, absolutely. The interesting position that the federal government is in right now is that since 2013, there has technically been a policy about open data and data management. We're slowly moving along, but part of that policy is there's also a requirement to engage with the public about prioritizing data improvements. Mm-hmm. And since there's so much work to be done, the more the public and, you know, any aspect of the public, so the private sector or nonprofits or academia or journalists can identify, like, this data set has this issue and this is what I would need to fix it, or weighs in on, like, this growing resources of tools. There's a bunch of open data, open source tools that are being made available in the federal government. I was just talking the other day about how we should just like round them all up in one spot. But at least govcode.org is one place to start. And especially like I would encourage people to check out like the GSA GitHub repo or the 18F GitHub repo or CFPB's GitHub repo. A lot of the data tools are coming out of those shops. But just weighing in either on the tools or specific data. I know every talk I give, I'm just like, email the government, like, what you need, especially if you are a user of that data on a regular basis. A lot of the feedback that you end up getting inside of government is either, there's like a lot of like research help desk type of requests that we've gotten at data.gov before that we can't really fulfill without, you know, doing more research or collecting new data that's not collected or using data that isn't government data to like answer the question. Or a lot of it is just like YouTube comment type style feedback where it's just like a random thing. Yeah. So if you're really using it and you're really precise about it, like I encourage you to reach out by like email, by comment. Every agency has a /data page where they're by policy, every like 24 CFO Act agencies are required to have some sort of feedback mechanism. But also if you write a blog post about it, or you write a story about it, or you write a paper about it, I send those to the points of contact on a regular basis. And I've seen things turn over. One example of that is Parker Higgins, who works at EFF, mm-hmm. wrote a blog post last year about how their watercolor paintings that the USDA had, but they weren't releasing them. And they were charging. You could get 3 for free, but then you had to pay to download these watercolor images. And he's a open everything advocate in the public domain. And he was like, these are government created paintings. Why is this the case? He wrote like a really specific blog post about it. I sent it around to the USDA people and asked like what we could do. And then like in government time, it took like a month or so, maybe 2 months. But eventually they worked out they rechecked the contract of the vendor that they had procured, like they had to digitize those paintings, and they outsourced that task.
Uh-huh.
And in that contract, they thought that they would have to charge for it under the contract language. But they revisited it, and they didn't have to. So nice. Now all of those paintings are online, and you don't have to pay for them anymore. But that's like one example where it's just like, wow, there was like a really specific ask with like a specific thing that he was like going to do with them that I could get to the right point of contact. And it doesn't have to be me. There's also, if you go to Project Open Data, at the very bottom of the page, or slash points of contact on that page, there's the email addresses of anyone who's a point of contact at these agencies on Open Data. And they are by mandate supposed to listen to you.
Nice. I like when people are forced to pay attention to me. That is nice. Well, I'll put all these links on the podcast website so people can use them, which is great. In an imaginary way, I want to speed up government time a few years and ask and posit the following. So we're now in a world that's some years in the future, and government data is out there. There are nice tools, and there's more data that is available for people to get more easily. What is the next? And I know that may be a long way away, and that's fine, but let's just speed it up. What's the next evolution in open data, specifically government open data? I mean, we can talk generally about open data, but for federal government open data, what's the next phase?
So I would, this is my theory. It does not reflect the administration or anybody else. Right. But I think it's true for federal government data and local government data. I think the next step is, rather than just having it be broadcast authoritative data from the government that is either accurate or not as accurate as you want to be, it's going to be more of a conversation between government data and then other data sources.
Uh-huh.
I think one of the first examples where this might actually play out, and I look for examples like this all the time, but OpenStreetMap, barring any like licensing issues, to be compatible with government data is usually it's often the case that OpenStreetMap is ahead of whatever government data collection we're doing for geospatial things. And that's an example where someone that's not the government can provide data that the government doesn't have.
Yeah.
I also think it'll be a way to validate data to see if it's actually accurate. There's already some government data sets that are sort of like this now where you can sort of compare and contrast to sort of like get closer to what like the accurate count is on something. I think one example is maybe it's in the UCR where they ask about hate crimes, but then CDC also asked victims like what they were victim to and if it was a hate crime, and you can like compare those statistics against each other, like how many people think they were victim of a hate crime versus like how many hate crimes are reported by police departments, and like how far off is that number?
Yeah, and actually sort of verify the cross and verify the data.
Yeah. So I think there's going to be like a lot of verifying and validation stuff, and that's going to be between government and between outside sources. And I think like one really like there's a million reasons why it's an interesting topic, but the police data initiative work is really interesting to me because it has this dynamic in spades where it's very important to talk about like state data versus like citizen collected data when what you're trying to do is make sure that the state is held accountable in a situation. So you can't always rely on state data. It has to be compared against something. Right. That might be farther away than I would like, but that's where I see it going.
Yeah, yeah. Really interesting. Well, so I want to thank you for coming on the show. This is a really fascinating discussion, and I'm curious to sort of wrap up. So you're at data.gov, you're at the White House now, your detail there ends up in a few months. So are you headed back to data.gov, or is your role going to change there? Sort of where are you going to be in early 2016?
So the plan now is back to data.gov, but I think hopefully my experience working across like several different perspectives for this now, and also like, working more closely with 18F and these other teams, like these digital service teams in agencies, might also be useful or grow into something more specific. But it'll still be data for a while. So
right, great, great. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. It's been really interesting. And for those of you who are listening, hopefully there's many of you. If you have data needs or data critiques from the federal government, just email Rebecca. She'll fix all of the problems for you.
Email me, though. I don't know that I can always fix them. But
she'll put it in the hands of the right people, which is sometimes that's really what you need. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Be sure to check out the show on iTunes, and please rate the show on iTunes. And if you have comments or suggestions or questions, hit me up on the site or on Twitter. And I will see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
This episode of the PolicyViz podcast was brought to you by Socrata. Socrata is the global leader in software solutions that are designed exclusively for digital government and provide benefits for hundreds of public sector leaders and their constituents. The company's customers, among others, include the cities of New York, Chicago, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. To learn more about Socrata, visit them on the web at www.socrata.com.